Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
No more mocks. This is a real deal. Want to talk about the draft? Call, text, or tweet us. Now, NFL Draft Central on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Presented by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
Look at this. We're at Draft Central.
Right.
Little did I know that's what this was.
Let me look outside on the door and see if it says that outside. But I didn't notice that when I walked in. Draft Central.
I really like how they've done absolutely nothing to the place to make it Draft Central.
Right.
This actually could be a good thing to do.
If you're watching on the simulcast, what that means is that we've got the draft order scrawling on the bottom of the screen, and there's a little countdown clock.
Yeah.
That'll let you know when how far away we are, about 5 hours from the first pick.
And a mini Cardinals helmet.
Right.
That's a teeny little Cardinals helmet.
Right. But it's not the right logo. It's like an older logo. We couldn't find the new one.
Maybe just calling yourself something different every so often is good.
Keep it fresh.
We're Draft Central.
A little role play.
Well, that's going to make it tough for me to tell you about my argument with my wife over vegetables later. But maybe in a place called Draft Central, you can still do a little bit of that.
Squeeze that in?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I hope so. I look forward to that. The diversions make it that much more fun to me.
Today has been kind of boring, I think, for draft buzz. Compared with last year, and not just because of the Bills quarterback drama, but just number one, the top of the draft. I was remembering this just a few minutes ago. Last year, the day before the draft, somebody mentioned Mayfield at one, and it was weird. Like the day before the draft, somebody saying the guy who would be picked first would be picked first, and it was weird. It's like, really? Are you really going to? It just sounded to me like the kind of thing that you get that's just, you know, to distract you. It's just put there. It's planted to make you think that the Browns are super clever. And then I was looking at the odds, and I found these tweets from last year, like Mayfield was 5-1 to be the number one pick. At some point that day, I thought, wait, maybe this could actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that price and did a little bit on that. And then the next day, I found tweets. I remember updating the odds last year. You know, you sit there, if you're like me and you have nothing to do, you sit there and you have Twitter on one tab and then you have the lines on the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every minute last year, this morning, it was, you know, something was coming out. And by the middle of the morning that day, it was like, okay, Mayfield really might be the number one pick. And he became the favorite. But at 9:30 in the morning that day, this day last year, he was not. Darnold was the favorite.
Wow.
Darnold was like -225 and Mayfield was plus. Allen was second. And then Mayfield was like +250 or something.
And then it just changed as we got closer. Yeah.
Something happened that morning that like just meant, wait, they are really going to do that.
Yeah, I remember leaving here after we were done at 7. The draft begins at 8. And I don't want to say the first time in a long time, because I'm not positive, but it feels like most years I walk out of here and go home and know what's going to happen at 8 o'clock. And last year, it certainly seemed very plausible that it would be Mayfield, but the fact that it happened over the span of, you know, 6 hours or so had me wondering, is that what really is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to sit down at 8 o'clock, and what are the Browns going to do? I was not certain of what they were going to do because of the it had been relatively tumultuous, whereas I think, you know, most years recently as it pertains to quarterbacks, you kind of had your hands around it. You know, or if there's not quarterbacks, it was like, okay, well, whatever. Like, I don't remember being all that bent about which lineman's going to go first when, you know, like Jake Fisher and some other guy were up there. Like, whatever. But you usually have a pretty good idea. And last year, it turned out that if you believed that he was the favorite, you know, you would have had a good idea. But I didn't. I wasn't sure what was going to happen there. It had been too iffy, and it was too fresh that. So I thought it was some plant, but I really couldn't figure out why it would be. Anyway.
Well, what are you believing on Murray in tonight? Because, but like I'm saying, it's been boring. I haven't believed anything. There's not much anyway. I haven't thought yet that he won't be the number one pick. Like, I haven't thought yet that he won't be. But you don't know. Like, last year with Mayfield, again, I felt confident by this time last year that was going to happen. And we probably took a couple calls, and I'm like, no, it really does sound like Mayfield. But then I went out and had this little betting game with my friends, and like I think I told you this yesterday, the show comes on at 8 o'clock, and I was nervous,
right?
Because I was really in on that.
Yeah,
and then
right.
When Goodell announced Mayfield, I was relieved. I was like tired from it.
Right.
Oh, thank goodness. Like,
right.
So.
Yeah, I didn't have the investment, but that's kind of like I was. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I wasn't betting on it, but I needed to hear it. And like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're off now.
This is what they do to you. Like, I think this probably sounds bad, but I think if Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport know what the Cardinals are going to do, they're not going to tell us. Like, I think that this is part of the deal, that this is. Like, they may know or they may not know. It's probably easier on them if they don't. Unless this is what happens all the time, you know, this is what they're used to doing. But like, I don't want to be that sort of whatever that is about it. I think if they know, they're not right. Telling you that this is like Ian Rappaport has learned that they're taking Kyler Murray. That would not be cool. So we are going to go to 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And not know. Probably.
Yeah, probably. And like, I don't know, that suspicious maybe is what you like of the media's role in that, because you'd think like reporters would want to break stuff, but they both work for networks that are carrying the draft. And, you know, I think it helps them to have uncertainty.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they're better off, I think, for their relationship with their work if they just sort of, you know, sit on it if they've got it. I don't know. Like me, I would imagine that might even be a dilemma. Like, you know, like Schefter could, in theory, have it and go to his bosses and say, like, I want to do this. And they go, no, you really shouldn't do that. We need you to not do that.
I think that's just what happens.
Yeah. So I think Murray's going. I think he'll go one. And a part of it for me is that I just can't fathom that the Cardinals would be putting Josh Rosen through all this. And, you know, you can debate what all this is.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Like, how meaningful it is. But it just seems like a lot. He did not do well. They were a mess, and he suffered. And to then ask him, after the draft is all over, and there's been all this Murray talk, that they haven't... You know, they haven't come out and said we're doing it, but they haven't squashed it either entirely, I don't think. I think they could do that if they really wanted to do that, and they're not doing that.
I like that point.
So they would be asking Rosen on Saturday or tonight or Monday, whatever. Whenever they're going to have like a big news conference at One Cardinal Way, they would ask him to stand there and go, no, I knew all along what they were doing. They told me that they were going to try to max out the return on the pick, and it was all just, you know, it was all a smokescreen, and I'm cool. I'm good. I'm the Cardinals quarterback. And I just think with the way last year went, a lot of fans of football in general, and especially Cardinals fans, would be looking at that going, they just didn't get the price they wanted, and now we're stuck. Or just something. I think it's really hard to envision them not taking the quarterback that they've been tied to here and trading Rosen and starting over there. But, I mean, I could be, you know, way off on that, and maybe Rosen's adult enough to handle it, and they know that. But, man, I don't know. It's a long way to go to just try to get a trade done.
Yeah.
I mean, it just really is. Like, I'm, you know me, you call me Mr. Conspiracy. Like, I like the tangled web. I like trying to pull a string and see what unravels and comes out. But that's just,
no, right.
To me, that's just crazy pants.
Do they have Josh Rosen playing a part
through
all this, through the entire offseason? Like, I just don't think so.
And it hasn't gotten out. I just can't imagine. that that's happening. So I think they're going to take. I think they're going to take the Oklahoma quarterback.
And Rosen may or may not be traded.
Yeah.
That comes down to what they can get for him.
Right.
You know, probably. I think, you know, teams may have deals set up already. I mean, it's been months, so that would be, you know, likely or possible. But you get to a certain point today, I think, and then you won't see any, if there even are going to be any before. Like, you get to dinner time, and I feel like that we're just going to wait until 8 o'clock for mm-hmm. any kind of movement. You know, you have, like, the Bills and the Broncos last year had it worked out that the Bills would move up to 5 and probably take Josh Allen as long as Bradley Chubb weren't available to the Broncos. And so you don't announce that at 1 o'clock. You wait to see the fourth pick.
Right.
And the Browns threw a curveball with the fourth pick, and the Broncos are like, yeah, no deal.
Right.
So there probably are a lot of these contingency or conditional kind of trades set up, or some of them, and we'll just have to wait to see how guys go and what happens tonight. But I also think Murray is probably the guy, and watching the odds today, there has been almost no change. Like, he is minus 500. There's been nothing like last year in that way. Ed Oliver, somebody that we've talked about, is still at minus 1,000, so 10-1
to go before in the top eight.
To go in the top eight,
yeah,
that's at Bet Online. And so, if it's Murray, the 49ers go second, and I just had this meaningless hunch that the 49ers would trade out of there, just because I have the trade from 2 years ago with the Bears. And where they got Solomon Thomas and the Bears drafted Trubisky, they traded one spot.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of credit for that. There was an essay, I think Peter King maybe was with John Lynch that night or just wrote on that whole thing. And the 49ers seemed, and Lynch seemed very open to, they've done this, they've been this way at other times, which I like. They shared a lot of details from that night. And so I have it in my head that the 49ers, seeing like all the defensive guys there, they could use one. I think they would, if they drafted lower, would still get a great one, a great prospect. I have it in my mind that they will move down there. But just a hunch, and I'm not really seeing anybody say that.
Uh-huh.
I think that would be the kind of thing they could do. And I don't know if the Giants would move up. It's a big move for Washington to do that. Maybe it's Oakland, if Oakland wants to do something that they think they can't get done at 4.
Yeah, wow.
You know, we'll see what happens with San Francisco. But Bosa is probably the player, or Quinnen Williams. Those sound like the top three. Or if you want, with Oliver, or would you rather have Josh Allen of Kentucky, the top four? The top three might be the top three in some order.
Murray, Bosa, Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty chalky.
Unless the Jets find somebody to play with.
Right.
That wants a quarterback, or I don't know, who else would you trade up for?
Right.
At that point.
Yeah.
At that early stage.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Jets will... Surely, I think if they don't move, they'll draft Quinnen Williams. And the reason that they might want to move is because they think someone might want him more than them. Or someone might want a quarterback there, and they can move down a few spots and still, if they don't get Quinnen Williams, still get Ed Oliver, and that's a fine consolation prize. Like that would make sense to me if the Jets were thinking that. But you got to find, somebody's got to want who? Dwayne Haskins or somebody badly enough. Or Quinnen Williams has got to desperately want to take him out from under. And you're fine moving down to where? Like, how far can you go down and get Oliver? You know, 3 spots, 4 spots? Like, I don't know how far you can go. But the Jets are probably, I would guess that's their thinking. And if no one comes in and wants to do that, then they'll just draft the higher graded prospect. And I'm guessing that's Williams.
Mm-hmm. 4 is Raiders. And that's kind of a question mark.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like they could do anything.
Yeah, they have that sort of luxury because of the other two firsts,
mm-hmm.
and they're bad, so they could, you know, even quarterback, they could do that too. Offensive line, there's been some love for the offensive lineman today online that 2 or 3 guys could end up going maybe earlier than most mock drafts have had it be. That could include the Bills too.
Right.
I mean, there's some chance that the Bills draft an offensive lineman.
And I scrolled through three or four mock drafts this morning that the station retweeted out. Charlie Casserly was one of them, and there were a couple of others, and they were all linemen, offensive linemen. And it was only two of the three guys. I think Juwan Taylor, because he's a right tackle, and this is a point Sal has made frequently. Sal's kind of ruled him out because the Bills aren't going to draft a guy to play right tackle. They'd want a guy that can either play left tackle or even play guard if they want to, and that's Jonah Williams. And then there's the kid from Washington State.
Dillard.
And one of those, I think maybe it was Casserly, had him to the Bills at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Just best pass blocking left tackle in the draft, and Josh Allen needs blind. You know, the stuff writes itself. so it feels to me like that. That was what I woke up to today, and so yeah, I don't know like how these people are arriving at these conclusions. Is there intel, or is there are they just looking at depth charts? Are they, you know, they're probably guessing largely. But I thought, oh, offensive line. All right. I'm sort of bracing for that now. You know, thinking about Sal telling us how much this Williams kid from Alabama, Jonah Williams, the tackle, not Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle, is like just custom-made central casting Sean McDermott guy. Like he just, you know, he's going to show up and do his job, and like he loves it, and okay.
Is there a hard hat involved?
Right, right. I mean, he just sounds.
Is there a lunch pail involved?
So that's how that guy is. I'm like, okay, all right. I hope he is as good as the Colts guy last year. Mm-hmm. Like, can I get that? Okay, I can live with that. You know,
there are two rumors of teams wanting to trade up, and we still don't know exactly if the Bills are in the right position for that. They're probably around the right position for that, but it depends on, you know, in part, it depends on who you want to get in front of. If the Giants are a team, like it's the quarterback teams maybe, which would be Washington or Miami. There's talk about Pittsburgh today. I don't know if that's quarterback, but there's talk about, doesn't have to be. There's talk about Atlanta. Like there maybe are more teams than that, but that's four that reportedly have interest in moving up. Atlanta, Washington, Pittsburgh, maybe Miami is less than those other ones, but so you'd have to know, like, well, what do those teams want? Washington, maybe it's quarterback. The Washington thing seems pretty out in the open that the owner wants Daniel Jones or Haskins. The owner wants Haskins. The coach wants Daniel Jones.
Great.
But the coach doesn't get in, he doesn't know the password with the Redskins. Right. Like, he doesn't get asked.
Sounds like a very healthy situation.
Yes. So, like, if I'm predicting this draft right now, I'd want to put Haskins on Washington, but I don't know where to do that. So, does Washington want him? What are they willing to do about it? They might think they have to go in front of the Giants. Mm-hmm. And in that case, the Bills don't matter.
Right.
But if they don't or can't do that, you have Oakland at 4, and I don't see Oakland really as a team that should want to trade down there because they have the two other firsts. You have Tampa at 5, maybe, but one, Tampa traded down last year, and that doesn't have to mean anything, but it could. They might not want to do that again. And two, we had the guy on yesterday, Trevor Sikkema, who knows the Buccaneers, and he said that they love this guy, Devin White. And if they can't draft Quinnen Williams or Bosa, they will draft Devin White. So maybe they don't want to move for either of those reasons, mm-hmm. or both. Then you have the Giants. And like now think about Washington here. Washington can't get to 6. So then you're just, Washington's just sort of at the mercy of what happens there.
Maybe the best case scenario for the Bills, if you want them to move down, which, you know, you're always open to, and I'm fine with that too, is that the Redskins either can't find or don't want to pay the price. You know, either of those things. Can't find a partner to trade with. Tampa loves the linebacker so much, they don't want to get out of there. So they can't get in front of the Giants, so they just go, okay, well, cross our fingers, and the Giants draft whatever. They draft Brian Burns or something. Whatever. The Giants just do not go for Haskins. And the Redskins are like, okay, let's go. then that's where maybe the Bills can come into play. Mm-hmm. If you get through a couple of more picks there, then you know they go, okay, well, it's not going to cost us as much to move from 15 to 9. That's a lot more palatable to us. Although, again, I'm giving the owner some credit here for not being kind of whimsical and this, you know, throwing assets away. But
yeah, and he might not deserve that.
Right, but you know, it's out of his control, perhaps. If no one wants to make the deal and they're waiting on the Giants, then maybe the Bills get a crack at moving down because the Redskins really love Washington really loves Haskins, and then you can do something.
Washington might want to do, it's a little late for this now maybe, but want to do what the Bills did last year, which is move like partway up. Like you have the Jets at 3. If the Jets want to move down, they don't want to move to 15. You need someone in the middle. The Bills are right in the middle. So if the Bills are willing, or this may, you know, I brought this up yesterday. I think this would have been better for like in the last week or so, perhaps, than today. But if you're willing to risk it, so to speak, and go from 9 to 15, then Washington can maybe get what it wants by going to 3, and the Jets can get what they want by going to 9, and everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. But you need that other team. And I don't know, like Sal tells us that he thinks the Bills have always wanted to move down. I've got to think that there have been chances to do that. And, you know, again, it very well could happen tonight. Like it's just maybe going to wait on how things start to go. You have 7 Jacksonville, 8 Detroit, 9 Buffalo, and 7, 8, 9 there. And why was 6 mad at 7?
No, 5 was mad at 6 because 7, 8, 9. Yeah. What is that?
I think that's why you'd be mad at 7 because 7, 8, 9.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But I don't know. I still don't know for sure what it is. I think that's why 6 is mad at 7.
I'm sorry, everybody.
6 can't trade with 7 because 7, 8, 9.
Right.
So. We all know that. That's a natural law.
My kids are too old for me to know this stuff anymore.
Right, Joe? I heard this from Joe. This is the kind of my joke, you know, Joe makes.
My dad joke days.
A dad
are
joke?
Over.
No, I'm not a big dad joke guy.
Oh, I can see it on your face. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. Joe. I think we've been actually dumped. I think Joe has gone to commercial right now. We're only being heard by our online audience.
Right.
Yeah, well, we are actually in commercial right now.
Well,
they just don't know it.
They want to really establish the credibility of Draft Central.
Draft Central.
7, 8, 9,
baby.
We're getting the hook already.
All right, so this will be really fun. What happens? What do we want? Last call today, 803-0550. Sal Capaccio coming up at 4, and then again later in the show to have a second conversation. Who knows? Maybe we'll have new stuff to talk about between now and then. Spent a lot of the day, though, of course, figuring out like what could happen tonight and what we want to have happen tonight, or what would be the worst outcome. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. You can reach us at 803-0550. That's the number once again. This is WGR.
Well, it's that time of year again when we got a chance to give you some clues about our first round draft pick coming up.
This is Pete Carroll.
It happens to be the 10th year anniversary, so we thought we'd go back to the music. And in particular that it's the 60th year anniversary of Motown for Berry Gordy and all that big show that was just on. We're going to stick with Motown tunes. Now, last year, nobody figured out that it was Rashad Penny. Now, we did GIFs, and that quite challenged our following. They couldn't quite figure it out. You know, I could have put Penny Lane, the Beatles, on there, too. We didn't do that. We made it a little bit harder than that. So you're challenged, and we're going to challenge you again this year. Let's see who can figure it out. So good luck.
All right, so Pete Carroll, you can see it on Twitter. It was just put there. Seahawks draft clues, and he plays Lean on Me.
Yeah, right. Mentioned that show you watched over the weekend.
Yes, he mentioned the Motown 60.
That's a thing. I didn't know that. I didn't know that last year that they were giving clues.
I don't remember
about
either.
About what they were going to do. I mean, I don't know how you do that if you don't know how the thing is going to fall. You know, like you're picking 21st. The Seahawks are picking 21st.
Well, I read some of the mentions, and a popular one is because of the line, "There's always tomorrow" in the song "Lean on Me" that you're trading out of the first round.
Ah, okay.
A few people wrote to Pete Carroll to tell him that's what they think is the clue.
All right.
That they're trading out of the first round.
I give them points for social media engagement.
Yes.
whether I can actually want to waste my time trying to guess what the clues are, because I think it'd be pretty tough, but fine, play along, have some fun. We'd be having a blast with that if Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott were playing a guitar and singing songs for you, trying to give you a clue what they're going to do tonight. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, Pete Carroll's got nothing to worry about.
No.
He's not Belichick either, but he's got nothing to worry about. Like, here, whatever. What are they going to do? Make me work Sundays? Like, I'm Pete Carroll. I'm okay.
Right.
This is my last job.
I'm all right here.
Like
he's in a rocker at this point, I think, pretty much.
Let's talk to Evan here. Hi, Evan.
Hey, guys. Happy draft day. This is one of my favorite sports days of the year.
Yeah.
Being down in Atlantic City now, you can gamble on it. Mike, you were talking about
tell us what that's like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take all the time you need, Evan.
It actually kind of motivated me. I don't know if that's good, but I took a ride over to the DraftKings Sportsbook yesterday to take a look and see what was there. And reading the tea leaves, I've been kind of deep diving on this draft. And I think the Jets, if you look at their depth chart, their offensive line is terrible. They have bad level, bad center. So just before I get to the Bills, I threw in a little prop that I think the Jets want to trade down. The reason I think they want to trade down is I think they want to take one of the tackles.
Okay.
Jonah Williams. And I don't think they really want to take him at three because they might catch some heat because it would
right.
be considered a reach. But if they can move back to five or six, I think they could pallet it more. And Jay Glazer, who I think is like really tuned in, mentioned a couple weeks ago that he thinks that the Jets want to move down, and he thinks there's a team two or three spots behind them that would be willing to move up with them. So I we'll see. I got it's a 30-1 on Jonah Williams to be the first pick for the Jets.
It doesn't matter where they pick; they can trade down as long as the player's right. It's not the spot, right?
To be their first selection,
right? Gotcha.
30-1, and then I was like, well, maybe if the Redskins trade up, that's too far back with the Jets for them to get Jonah. So I hedged it. With that center that everybody's got going to the Vikings, Garrett Bradbury.
Garrett Bradbury.
To be the first guy the Jets take. So I had you. Probably two losers, but if it hits, it'll be a big one. So
yeah, right.
The thing I wanted to say about the Bills is I really want them to show some discipline on day two of the draft this year. The last 2 years, they've just been like, they seem like the team that gets antsy. They got to have their guy. And the first year with McDermott, it was Zay Jones and Deion Dawkins traded up for. And if you look at the receiver that went after Zay Jones was Juju Smith-Schuster, and the tackle that went after Deion Dawkins was the guy on the Panthers, Taylor Moton. And both of them are much better players than what we got. And then last year we had to trade up for Tremaine Edmonds, and then the next two linebackers taken were Darius Leonard, who was by far the best linebacker taken, and Leighton Vander Esch. So I want them to hold on to those picks. I'm sick of them just burning.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Thank you, Evan. I couldn't agree more. But that's just always been a bad sign for your team if your team is trading up like that, even if it is the second day. So I totally agree with that. But, you know, I'm not too hopeful for sports really yet, or for football really yet, or the Bills. Like, I'm not too hopeful in this because I think it should be plainly obvious by now how faulty that sort of move is. It should just be common knowledge to everybody who even follows the sport. And yet you still see teams do it and do it in prominent positions and do it year after year. And that's the Bills. So yeah, no, thank you. I don't need that linebacker. I might need a linebacker, and I might not find him perfect, but, you know, let's just be real about what we don't know about the draft and act accordingly. Get more players. That's, to me, so clear. So, yeah, I'll like I've been saying it every day. I'll like tonight this weekend if they don't, trade up like that. Now, there's one but in this, and that is that they have 10 picks
Right.
And Sal has been saying, right, like, they really don't have room for that many.
That's what I'm waiting to say here is, I mean, they have extra. One of the reasons why you get extra, this is how they did it last year. I mean, they weren't short players when they left the draft last year, even though they traded up like they did, because they'd accumulated enough extra stuff that they still were able to make it work for them. You know, one of the reasons why they were able to get back into the first round or move up again in the first round was that they had two picks to begin with from the year before. So, like, sitting with 10 picks, like, you know, I don't know. A part of me, like, obviously recognizes that no one is going to know for sure who's going to be the better player necessarily. But I don't know. I think about myself in that job, and I think I'm going to want my name on it. You know, like, I'm doing this job. I'm building this team. This is the guy I believe in. I'm going to take him. I want him, and down with the ship. You know, like, in a certain way, I like that. It appeals to some part of me. But, you know, there's a line for it. You know, like, I find it more palatable to do it later than early. Like, I hated the Watkins trade. Like, I'm just giving up too much stuff for a position that doesn't make sense for where I am on my timeline. It just doesn't add up. You get into Saturday and you want to spend an extra fourth to move up in the third. Okay, like, I don't know. I just don't. The likelihood of that guy that I'm not getting helping me, I mean, I realize that the likelihood of the guy I'm moving up to get isn't that great at helping me either. I don't know.
It's just not worth as much, so it doesn't sting as much.
That's right. That's right. It's not, you know, it's not, I've got too much money, you know, like, it's not quite like that, but it is, I don't know, something about it doesn't offend me totally.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop short of saying I support someone being bold, because that's, well, I got bludgeoned with that when I was critical of the Watkins trade right after it happened. Oh, they're bold. They have a conviction. They love this guy. Like, yeah, but it doesn't make sense. Like, do that for a position that can help you because you're set at quarterback. Like, okay, be bold then. There's being bold, and then there's being stupid. And the Watkins trade never was smart to me. So I don't want to have it both ways, but you can tell I'm a little torn. I like that these people want to put their names on it. I like this guy. Okay, go get him.
I know what you're saying, and I understand. I think I understand this point all the way. Like Brian Koziol, I owed him $50 from the golf bet, and he doesn't have PayPal or Venmo. He's like, well, just, you know, I'll be in the station in a couple of weeks, and you can give me $50. Like, okay, but you could also get PayPal. Like, well, no, he'd rather do it the old way. You know, like,
right,
old people are like this. They don't really want to use a calculator. They want to just figure, they'll get the paper out and write down.
I don't have PayPal.
I'll put my name on it and trade down because I'll actually understand what history tells me and what the computer tells me. And then I'll go from there. Like, the Eagles guy is not worried about whether his name is on it. Roseman, he's just going to do the smart things. Same with New England. So I know, like, I don't know exactly how to put it, but I feel you said it. I mean, how should it be? You know, like, I'm in fantasy leagues and I use an app, and there are guys in there. There was one guy in one of these leagues last year who was just, like, not impressed, and I was beating him. But
yep,
he's
right.
Like, I don't think you really know anything. He was sort of trash talking me. And I don't think you really know anything. Like, well, I don't have to know anything. You have a magazine. I have this.
Right.
Well, I mean, are you going to look at your magazine or not?
Right.
What's the difference?
Right.
You know, like, the Bills have their scouts, and all the teams have their scouts, and they have their information, and they have their tape. But they act like they don't have a phone, you know, because at the end of it, they're still willing to move up like they do. I mean, this year so far, and they're telling you it's because of the draft class, not any sort of overall realization that it's bad business. They're telling you it's because of the draft class that you have teams that want to trade down and can't do it.
Yeah.
And that you might have to take a discount to trade down this year because, you know, of the players. But really, it should be because teams have figured out not to move up.
Right.
I just don't think it is.
Right. Yeah. The torn part of it for me is if it's not obvious. Like, I want the Bills to be good. Right. I want them to be good. I want them to get as many good players as they can. And so that you know, I'd like them to proceed in the most prudent, smartest way that they can. But the other part of me that's like been doing this job all these years is go ahead, put your name, do that. If it doesn't work, you're getting fired. Like you're loading the gun for me, you know what I mean? Like you're giving all the fans a reason to go. Like the Watkins trade was so popular, it turned out to be a mess for them. Like it didn't cost Doug Whaley his job. I mean they lost and he got fired and it was incompetence overall. But it helped if everyone just did it the smartest way. I think it might get kind of boring. Like if everyone is just sitting around with an app, then there's no personality to it. It's all just, and if everyone wants to trade down, then there's never any trades.
Yep.
Right? Like, so then what, you know?
And what happens if every team puts a guy in short right field when David Ortiz is up?
Right.
I mean, he still gets to bat and you still have the game. It's just different.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, think of what the draft would be as a, you know, the caller said it's one of his favorite sports days of the year. We ranked 10, and this came out on top for me, which blew my mind. But I was trying to be honest about it, and it really does rate that highly. And a part of that is watching it and seeing, oh, my God, what did Tampa just do? That's a part of it. And even though you're overreacting because you don't know what it means, it's just, whoa, they moved up 10 spots to draft that guy. Nobody saw that coming.
I'm glad you mentioned Watkins. I wasn't thinking about that at all today. That's 5 years ago, and you did get hammered for that. I thought there was this strange common trait between all the people who were yelling at you, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
They were all Bills fans.
Yeah, right.
I don't remember hearing from Cleveland fans telling you that your points were wrong about the Sammy Watkins trade.
Right.
I think it was mostly Bills fans.
Yeah, that's right.
You know when, so that happened, and I was always impressed with you about that. When that didn't happen was last year. Last year, like, so the Watkins trade was almost everybody that called us was, like, giddy about it. I remember my friend Joe Dunlop. I was out when McGregor's was open across the street that night, and the Bills, they announced that trade and put it on the screen, and you had this packed bar, and people were screaming, and they might have even played the shout song, and Joe Dunlop comes over to me and just stood right next to me and just shook his head. As if, like, what is going on?
This is all wrong.
Can you believe they did that? Right. And that everybody's so happy?
Right.
So, last year was, guys, I was at the field house, and fans booed the Josh Allen pick. Now, Josh Allen is like, you know, that day with Sammy Watkins, where like nobody wants to criticize him.
Right.
Nobody would even think of it.
But then,
not nobody, but most fans wouldn't even think of it. They're like offended if you do it. But that when he was picked, it was not quite, it was different than other years.
Yes. It was. He was not, you know, going back to, the, I mean, and that wasn't about trading up as much as it was the guy. Like, I think if they had done that and chosen Josh Rosen, you might have gotten a different reaction in the field house. But Allen had become this figure that, I mean, he was the most polarizing player in that draft. And I don't even think it was even. I think it was more negative than positive. And, you know, as it turned out, you know, fans were freaked out by that. And, you know, for me, I remember walking in here the day after last year and going, like, I don't know, I'm not mad. I'm just not. So last year my fight was against people saying, you guys are all mad. Like, I'm not mad. I'm yelling. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not mad. I don't know if he's going to be any good. I'm not upset they drafted him. I'm fine. I walked out of here last year on the Thursday of the draft and said, they're going to take Josh Allen. I was positive that they loved him. I didn't have any question about it. That there's no way they're drafting Rosen. They're going to draft Josh Allen. Make friends with it. And here we are a year later. And now, yeah, now if you criticize the pick, people are ready to bludgeon you. If you just don't compliment him endlessly, people get mad.
Yeah, you must be unwilling to change your mind. That's what you hear. You must not watch the games, or you must just not be willing to change your mind.
Right. And I didn't have to change my mind because I was never upset in the first place.
Yes.
I'm fine.
And since we're just like clearing the record here, I liked the Watkins trade. I thought it was fun, and I was not this way about that. You know, like, okay, well, I can, I just want to like this. Am I allowed to just not be mathy, and can I just like this? So, Jim is with us now. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I was interested to hear what you said that the NFL teams figured out that it's not not good business to trade up in the draft. When did they figure this out?
Oh, I don't know that they have.
Because I see, it seems like last year there was a whole lot of trading up in the draft.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean to say or say that they have figured it out. I think they will figure it out.
Right. A part of that conversation was what happens if they all figure that out? You don't have any trades. If no one wants to move up, then no one gets to move down and get extra stuff, and then you just have a static draft board for the whole thing.
Well, then it won't be on TV for 3 nights in a row.
Right. Right. I think it would lose a lot of its allure for sure.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, have a good one. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Yeah, but sports, even sports, does get smart. So it will happen. And, you know, if we're trying to be, if the word is idealize everything here, then you really shouldn't have a draft at all, right?
Right.
Why do we even have a draft at all? But the draft is fun, and I don't want to get rid of the draft, because even though it's probably a long since antiquated idea, I like it. I love drafts. I love drafts more than anything. It's not my number one sports day, but it was somewhere in my top 10. Sal Capaccio coming up at 4. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. The draft goes at 8 tonight. This is WGR.
If Oliver slipped, that's interesting. I don't think he's going to slip to 9, but he could become close. And that's kind of what I'm saying. If you love him and you got him 2 or 3 on your board, which is very possible, would you move up a spot or 2 to secure him? Because somebody else might. So if Detroit, for example, that's a team that wants to move up. Would you move up 1 spot? What would you give to secure him? You got to have that debate in your room.
Chris Landry on WGR this morning talking about the draft. Because it's the one that I think at least people mention the most often. I have the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart up. There are other ones. And we talked yesterday about how we wonder which teams use which charts or which methods to try to figure out what's fair in a trade. In that chart, which is a famous one, the Bills' 9th pick is 1,350 points. Detroit at 8 is 1,400. So to move up 1 spot by this chart would cost you 50 points or about the 120th pick. The Bills have 131, something like that. So that's what, a fifth? 131, end of 4, early 5, whatever that is.
Okay.
To move up 1 spot, it would cost you, might cost you a fifth round pick to do that, at least by the chart. Jason LaConfora of CBS is reporting that he's hearing people talk about the Jets trading with the Bills. 3 and 9.
Right. If the top two picks go as expected, Murray and Bosa, that the Bills, LaConfora says he's been told by 2 GMs that the Bills will go up to 3 to draft Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams.
So that point difference is, and I guess that's just an unspeakably bad idea, by the way. That point difference is 850, which is the 17th, 19th pick of the first round. Like, that's a mid-first round pick. The Bills don't have that. To go from 9 to 3, you're probably talking next year's 1 right, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't even want to talk about that if that happens. I just don't think I can function if they trade up to 3 and draft a defensive tackle. I won't have any words for that. So that's out there. There are still people talking about the Cardinals not taking Kyler Murray. One friend of mine is buying it. He's placing all the bets on all the other possibilities. Murray not even being the first quarterback. Quinnen Williams number 1. Sounds like that might be the player number 1 if that were to happen. I mean, you could. The bet online odds have just not moved. There's just not enough out there. There's enough non-Murray speculation to hold it up. Like, the thing is, it's being held up a little bit. Like, it's like a balloon, maybe. And it's just like, it's not to the ground yet. There is somebody, like, batting it back up in the air over and over and over. But neither is it coming down. Like, neither do you have Williams or Bosa, like,
getting love for number
getting
one.
Getting love.
Off, right.
So, I don't want to assume anything. Like, I don't want to assume anything there. It's their game, and I'll play. I'll play along.
All right. Stay tuned.
Sal coming up. the Jets rumor, Murray, and everything else with Sal Capaccio. Draft day is here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.